Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on X, and also on Facebook, also on X, at Matthew Soucy. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Short show this week, just you and me. Next week, I'm hoping to have Joe Shearer on the show. We will be discussing the film The Iron Claw, which opens next week. I do want to mention, I know it's already opened in one theater, but it is now opening this weekend at the Can-Can. But the new film from Bradley Cooper, Maestro, the story of Leonard Bernstein. Not a complete biopic, but his rise and fame and his private life with his wife, played by Carey Mulligan. Bradley Cooper, of course, plays Bernstein, who also co-wrote and directed the film. And if you thought A Star Is Born was ambitious, he really swings for the fences on this one. I heard a colleague refer to the film as scattered, as far as what I think Mr. Cooper is trying to do with the biopic, or the biopic, is because it's about his career when his career set off as a composer, but also dealing with his private life, because he was married and had children, but he also had relationships with men, and Bernstein's life was a mess, and I think the film captures that. But I think for me, it looks great, the music's powerful, but I think the best part about it is the chemistry between Bradley Cooper, and especially Carey Mulligan, who I think will be getting some statues around award season time. She's always fun to watch, and really, really volleys well to whatever Mr. Cooper throws at her. So if you like messy music biopics, man, Maestro will do it for you, but it's worth checking out. Excuse me. I want to go through, and this is the other big story this week. The big story every week is Golden Globus Theater, their new podcast, their new episode, which came out this week. Showdown, also known as American Karate Tiger. And it's a 3-hour podcast. So if you enjoy the guys riffing, you'll enjoy this, especially American Karate Tiger. So that is their new podcast this week over at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin. We have National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation Friday and Saturday at 2 and 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, December 17th, 2 and 5:30 p.m. Thursday, December 21st, the Jerry Navarro Trio performing the music from A Charlie Brown Christmas. That'll be fun. And never forget, friends, Charlie Brown Christmas is not a movie. It's a television special, but it's in the lexicon. Still not a film. Okay. 25 films, it's that time of week. The 25 films selected for preservation in the National Film Registry. We'll go through these. These are in chronological order. This year's 2023 selections are A Movie Trip Through Filmland from 1921, Dinner at 8 from 1933. That's one I need to check out. I have not seen this. There's a few in here I've not seen. It happens. Buhlano Family Film Collection from the 1950s to the 1970s. The documentary Helen Keller In Her Story from 1954. Lady and the Tramp from 1955. So, yes, the spaghetti and meatball scene will forever be with us. That's great. From 1957, Edge of the City. From 1974, We're Alive. From 1975, Cruisin' J-Town. From 1977, Alambrista. From 1977, Passing Through. From 1980, Alan Parker's Fame. This film was on my mind lately because I was here at work and I was very busy hustling and bustling and, you know, creating public radio goodness. And the song Lunchroom Jam was stuck in my head for a while, which is not a bad song to have stuck in your head, and one of the better songs in Fame. Poor Irene Cara. No, that's one I might need to check out again, especially. And I think the other reason why it's been on my mind lately is because my kid is a senior in college, so there is that. Back to the list. From 1985, Desperately Seeking Susan. From that, I saw that when it opened in the theaters. I was 15. The Lighted Field from 1987. Also from 1987, and I'm really happy for this, and it's a Criterion title, John Sayles Matewan. More John Sayles films need to be on the National Registry, and more John Sayles films need to be on Criterion. Those are my 2 cents. Probably one of the biggest films on this list, and y'all like it more than I do, that's for sure. But 1990's Home Alone, it's that time of year. 1991, Queen of Diamonds. 1991's Terminator 2, Judgment Day. Sure. 1993's The Nightmare Before Christmas, also that time of year. 1993, and I'm really happy this is on here, Ang Lee's The Wedding Banquet. And I always remember I saw The Wedding Banquet in a little two-screen mall theater in, of all places, Anderson, Indiana. I have no idea how they got that. And this is early Ang Lee. This is a wonderful comedy about a Chinese man living in New York. And he is living with his American boyfriend. And he gets a letter from his family in China that they have found a woman for him to marry. And they are coming into town. So he has to find a girl. And so there's that aspect of it. There's the cultural aspect of the film. The wedding banquet itself is exquisite. And, again, early Ang Lee. So really, really enjoyed that. So I'm glad that's on this list. Maya Lin, A Strong, Clear Vision from 1994. From 1995, Apollo 13. Saw that in a small theater outside of Eastern Illinois with great sound back in the 90s. So really good. Another one I'm really happy it's on here, and not enough people have watched it, and I know it's a Criterion title, from 2000, Spike Lee's Bamboozled. It's funny, I was thinking of this film again with American Fiction. Jeffrey Wright is really, really good in that film. He plays an author who is frustrated with being labeled as a black writer, and he decides to write his own, under a pen name, the black experience in America, living on the streets. And of course, it becomes a huge hit. And American Fiction is kind of a literary version of Bamboozled to a certain degree. So that might be a double feature that you want to check out. But Jeffrey Wright is great in American Fiction. And I'm really happy Bamboozled is on this list. And back when I was doing Abdul's show at 14, that other place, one of the things that would happen quite often is because we were next door to Smiley's morning show, and they would bring in the comics that would come into town and perform, and quite often Abdul and I would either see if we can get a few minutes with the comic on our show or just kind of sneak in. And I was doing film reviews for Smiley's show at that time, and Tommy Davidson came in, and everybody, because I'm this person, everybody was bringing up In Living Color. I brought up Bamboozled, because I knew I was the only one in there that had seen that film, and it's really good, and it says something about television as we know it. And this is over 20 years ago. And anyway, it's still kind of... Also from 2000, also on Criterion, if I remember right, Love and Basketball. From 2013, 12 Years a Slave. Big shout-out to Chiwetel Ejiofor. And also from 2013, on the National Film Registry, and I'm really happy for this, 20 Feet from Stardom, the great documentary about the stories of backup singers and how some of them tried to be more than backup singers. But anyway, this is a part of the Standing in the Shadows of Motown wave of musicians that we have no idea their names, but we get to finally hear their stories. And I'm really, really happy 20 Feet from Stardom is a part of this. Congratulations to all of the films who made the 2023 National Film Registry. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. All right, friends, grab a pencil. Let's find out what you've been watching this week. Hopefully you got to watch some good films that are new, or at least new to you. as well as falling back on old favorites. And we start on Facebook with Patty, who writes, Muppets Christmas Carol, a.k.a. the definitive Christmas Carol. Kind of with you on that one, Patty. I think one of the great quips I saw on social media was, the great thing about Muppet Christmas Carol is that Michael Caine treats all the other Muppets like they're with the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts. And in Muppet Treasure Island, Tim Curry is great because he acts like a Muppet. So there is that. Also, The Stone of Destiny, it was decided this counts as a Christmas movie. I don't care. That's great. Thank you, Patty. Sorry. It's 2023 and we're still doing the Christmas movie bit. So I will say there is a Christmas moment in the film Dark Waters. So there you go. Amanda has gone to the library and let's see. She watched Father of the Bride, Prancer, Home for the Holidays, another Prancer. Cool. The Crown. I can't read that. Oh, Leave the World Behind. Thank you. And I just lost the page. There we go. And The Autopsy of Jane Doe. All right. Doug writes, The Asphalt Jungle, the main event, because of Ryan O'Neill. We'll get to him in a minute. The Muppet Christmas Carol, Before Sunrise, and more 2023 films, Asteroid City, The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, and Past Lives. Lynn and I watched Boy and the Heron on Tuesday, and this is another thing of timing. I watched Robot Dreams before Boy and the Heron, so I'm... and you'll hear more about that probably on next week's show. And I love Miyazaki. I kind of got lost in the last third of this film. And it still looks cool. And it was almost the kind of boy and his animal story as only Miyazaki can do, as well as Studio Ghibli. But yeah, it just kind of lost steam for me in the last third, which I kind of bummed out. I loved The Wind Rises, which I was hoping would be his last film. But you know, beggars can't be choosers. We should always celebrate when Mr. Miyazaki puts a film together. But yeah, a slight disappointment. Still visually a feast for the eyes. And I mentioned Elemental and Past Lives. Lou Harry writes, Killers of the Flower Moon, Anatomy of a Fall, Kokomo City, 20 Days at Mapoi, Kill Play, The Zone of Interest, Rustin, The Color Purple, Poor Things, Infinity Pool, Smoking Causes Coughing, Bo is Afraid, The Boy and the Heron, Naiad, and Waitress, the musical. Jamie writes, Mickey's Magical Christmas, Snowed In at the House of Mouse, 8 Crazy Nights, Holiday in Handcuffs, Snow Globe, Leprechaun's Christmas Gold, Frosty's Return, Unlikely Angel, Midnight Fantasy. No, that's a song. And The Little Drummer Boy. I'm guessing that is the... Oh, no, not to be confused with The Little Drummer Girl, Doctor. That's all right. Eric, his first views, Buñuel's Tristana from 1970, The Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner. Shout out to Tom Courtney. And Mae West and Cary Grant in She Done Him Wrong from 1933, and his rewatches Bad Santa and Remember the Night. Hello, Lauren Graham. And Christina Hendricks, because she's in the second one. J.J. Perry writes, The Killing of a Sacred Deer. If you know that film, you know why I'm talking this way. Die Hard, Wham! From 2023, Not a Fan, but Still a Nostalgic Doc on Netflix. Noel. A Disturbance in the Force, How the Star Wars Holiday Special Happened. That's on Prime. Thank you, JJ. Daniel writes, Anti-Mame, Bell, Book, and Candle, 84 Charing Crossroad, Psycho, Deadline USA, and The Sound of Music. David writes, Operation Mincemeat, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Robert Muggy writes, My Darling Clementine, Leave the World Behind, Remember the Night, Roadblock, and Repeat Performance. Dustin writes The Marvels and Napoleon. By the way, I'm taller than Napoleon. Apparently, Joaquin Phoenix is 5'8". No, I should say Joaquin Phoenix is 5'8", and I don't think Napoleon was that tall in real life, but I think I'm taller than Napoleon. But I'm not as tall as Joaquin Phoenix as Napoleon. I just dropped the joke. That's terrible. Terry writes, I'm Not There, as well as Knight of Cups. Jessica writes, Outwaters, Muppet Christmas Carol, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, and The Holiday. And finally, Nick Rogers writes The Iron Claw, Monster, The Promised Land, Leo, T Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, Mutant Madness, The Boy and the Heron, The Color Purple, The Zone of Interest, The Taste of Things, Suzanne, Flora and Son, Poor Things, Beyond Utopia, Greener Pastures, and Paycheck. And there you go, friends. That's what you've been watching this week. So hopefully you got to watch some good films that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And before we wrap things up, I want to pay tribute to Andre Brouwer. Of course, it has been talked about, obviously, better known for his TV work. He won 2 Emmy Awards for, Homicide and Brooklyn Nine-Nine, if I remember right. And I always forget that his first gig was as one of the police, was the young detective in the reboot of Kojak from the late 80s, early 90s. So Golden Globe has taken note of that. And of course, I got to see his very first film. He was Corporal Thomas Searles in Glory back in 1989. And then, you know, kind of worked his way up through stuff. Primal Fear, Striking Distance, Get on the Bus. That's another one that needs to be revisited. City of Angels, Thick as Thieves, All the Rage, Frequency, Duets. Yes, I'm scrolling, of course. Poseidon. I forgot about Poseidon. The Mist, Passengers, Salt, Baytown Outlaws. And but obviously much more TV. So salute to Andre Brouwer. And then we have complicated man Ryan O'Neill. Whoo boy, the less you well we if you know what he did to his kids, yeah, a lot of TV in the 60s. First film of note, 1969's The Big Bounce, based on the novel by film sociology favorite and guest Elmore Leonard. The Games, his one and only Academy Award nomination in 1970 for Love Story. Wild Rovers, What's Up, Doc? The Thief Who Came to Dinner, of course, worked with Bogdanovich a few times. Paper Moon, Barry Lyndon, which looks great. And there, I saw an interesting write-up about that film. I think he's okay. I probably would have picked out somebody else. But the fact that he's an American actor playing an Irishman, and the fact that the Barry Lyndon character is an outsider in this world that he is inhabiting. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. I might need to revisit that. Played Leo Harrington, of course, in Nickelodeon with Peter Bogdanovich again, with Burt Reynolds and Tatum O'Neill. A Bridge Too Far. The film of his that I did revisit is The Driver from Walter Hill, 1978. It's a really good car chase film. With it also says Bruce Dern and Isabella Gianni, which I believe was her only American film. And I'm going to use a term that the guys over at Golden Globus Theater use, fake tough guy. And what works with The Driver is, because some people, one of the complaints about Ryan O'Neill is that there's not a lot of fire in him as an actor. And the fact that in a film called The Driver, and his character is the driver, and you know, these characters don't have names, they have titles. And the fact that he's a blank slate in this, it's kind of reminiscent of Keanu in the first John Wick, where all you have to do is be a blank slate and do everything else great. So it kind of worked. They use that. He doesn't say a whole lot, and he doesn't do a whole lot of action-y stuff. He just drives. But this is proven to be an influential film. You know, if you giggled at Ryan Gosling in Drive, this is the cinematic father of that film. Death Proof is another one that or Quentin Tarantino is cited The Driver as an influential film in his upbringing. So if there is a Ryan O'Neill film you want to revisit, I would say Walter Hill's The Driver from 1978. And then they made a sequel to Love Story called Oliver's Story. Nobody asked for that. The Main Event, Green Ice. I do remember the bad comedies of the early 80s, So Fine and Partners. Although I do like Irreconcilable Differences, where he's playing a thinly veiled version of Peter Bogdanovich as a filmmaker who dumps his wife for an actress. Yeah, remember that? I remember just the critics trashing Fever Pitch and Tough Guys Don't Dance, which has the, as I mentioned online, probably the most bizarre moment in the history of canon films, the oh God, oh man moment. Of course, that helps when you're being directed by Norman Mailer. Chances Are, Faithful, Zero Effect. I forgot he was in the Zero Effect. Alan Smithy film, nobody needs that. And he kept working throughout the years, Malibu's Most Wanted, Knight of Cups, which we just mentioned earlier, And he rounded out his career playing, Max Keenan in the series of Bones. So, yeah, I don't know if he finally was at peace with Tatum. But, interesting guy on screen, and the less you read about him off screen, there you go. So, all right, friends, some words to live by.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. Next week, Joe Shearer, fellow IFJA member, we will have the announcements of the Indiana Film Journalist Awards, which will come out next Monday. And then Joe Shearer will be on the show while we break down the film The Iron Claw. So there you go. Thank you for listening. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!